Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
And 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. What up, y'all? Welcome to Here's the Thing. I'm Kevin Stage. She's
that chick, AJ.
Welcome to another podcast episode. Smash that like button. Smash that notification button. Banger bonus. Banger bonus. All 22. What you gonna do?
Real quick, I need to take this part and cut it out, Josh. I just want to make a quick, I'm not going to say that. Let's just focus on this.
What were you going to do? What's going on?
No, it ain't. Oh, yeah. Vote for the NAACP
you
for me.
You got to what, tomorrow?
Tomorrow.
This is dumb,
single,
man.
Single me out. Everyone, under the sound of my voice.
Sound of my voice.
My brother, my friend, not only in Christ, but in podcasting, Kevin Denise Latrice Shanice Fredericks is up for his second NAACP Image Award nomination. In 2021, we watched this man snot and cry and weep and gnash his teeth, huh? At a reception his wife threw him. And yet he still lost. But this year, oh, but this year, we're asking for something different, God. Because if you did it before, we know you can do it again. Now, today and tomorrow, the last day to vote. And we're asking that you get on your mobile devices. You go to the NAACP Image Awards voting website. It'll be a link in my bio as well as Kevin's bio.
In my bio.
His bio. Link and you just gonna go on there. And you're going to vote for him from all of your email addresses.
Make up an email!
All the ones that you use for Kev on Stage Studios. Yes.
For your Finsta account, huh?
Yeah.
Amen. The one you set up for Facebook so you don't get the notifications and to your real Finsta email.
Yeah.
Amen. You're gonna vote. And we're gonna claim victory today.
Victory is mine.
So please, yes, go to NAACP Image Awards nomination voting website and vote for our dear friend, a man who has worked harder than most people will ever work in their lifetime twice.
Facts.
Kev on Stage.
Hey, man.
On Stage.
Hey,
that would have been a great monologue for the mockumentary, Kev.
It would have been great.
You should have just started shooting it without his permission.
Should have did it. I would have had to go to Chicago to get Spice, but that wasn't going to happen.
So let's talk about Spotify. There's some trouble brewing on the horizon.
Yeah.
The quick story is this. An artist by the name of Neil Young pulled his music from Spotify because of what he called Joe Rogan's misinformation on his podcast. Specifically about COVID. Joe Rogan responded in a video, 9-minute long video that I watched, where he said the misinformation is boiled down to basically two videos where he had doctors, I forgot the names, but two doctors, one on each episode, who, and these are his words, had feelings about COVID that were contrary to the mainstream narrative. Mm-hmm. One of them had some patents that were that the mRNA vaccines were built upon.
Okay.
And he basically felt contrary to the mainstream narrative. Joe Rogan's podcast be 2.5-3 hours long. I don't have the time. Mm-hmm. I don't, even if I had the time, I would not choose to use my time that way.
He also gets like $500,000 in ads in an episode.
Dear God.
Jesus.
Dear God, you
that's like television show money.
How I would talk about Blue Chew all day.
Balls, penis, urethra.
Vast difference.
So Joe Rogan said, and these are his words, all I want to do is have conversations about COVID. I want to have different conversations than the ones you hear. I want to hear from both sides. He said that things that are concrete, or I'm sorry, things that are considered misinformation now, later on become the way of the world. And his example side, he said, at first, the CDC or the rule was like, you don't need to wear a mask. Unless you're feeling sick, you don't need to wear a mask. And then a couple weeks later, a couple months later, it was like, okay, everybody needs to wear a mask. But any mask could work. And now people are like, or now the common thread is you need to wear specific masks, N95, FFP, or whatever. Then he was like, at first, the vaccine, and this, I don't remember anybody saying this. He was like, at first, they were saying the vaccine prevents you from getting COVID. And then it was, you can get COVID, but you won't be sick and die. From everything I heard, I don't know who he talked to, but everything I heard, they were like, it doesn't prevent you from getting COVID. The whole point is to prevent you from getting super sick and die. It doesn't necessarily, excuse me, make you immune to COVID. But like, that's like what
the
he
flu
said.
Vax.
Huh?
It's like the flu vax.
Yeah, that's what. But he said that was the thing. And then he's making the point. Remember the days were 14, then it was 10, then it was 5. You're vaxxed. Like, his whole point was misinformation becomes information depending on who you talk to. Then he also admitted that if he had it to go again, he would do two things differently. He would have a, Spotify suggested this, a disclaimer that said, basically, this is entertainment. Consult your doctor before these episodes. And anytime he had a controversial opinion on one, he would make an episode that had the opposing argument. And he said he has had people who, doctors, who speak the mainstream narrative as well. But obviously, the ones that are not mainstream go viral.
Yeah, yeah.
So after that, after I saw that video, but before he made it, NDRE also removed her music. And her thing was like, look, you can talk COVID. We can disagree on that.
Mm-hmm.
But my issue with you is how you talk about Black people.
Yeah.
And Hollywood Unlocked posted this video where she talked about it at length. Hey, it's a little bit long, so I'm going to play, but I'm going to play the whole thing.
Hey, y'all. I want to leave a short message here about why I decided to ask my music be pulled off of Spotify. So check this out.
No white people. Says, okay, take me to this one. And the guy goes, okay. I goes, is that in a good neighborhood? He's like, oh, yeah. Guy barely speaks English. He takes us there. We get out, and we're giggling. Ooh, we're going to see Planet of the Apes. We walk into Planet of the Apes. We walked into Africa, dude. We walked in the door, and there was no white people. It says, okay, take.
I empathize with the people who are leaving for the COVID disinformation reasons, and I think that they should. I also think that Joe Rogan has the right to say what he wants to say. I also think that I have the right to say what I want to say. So as an artist who builds, Spotify is built on the back of the music streaming. So they take this money that's built from streaming and they pay this guy $100 million, but they pay us 0.003% of a penny. Hey, y'all, just take me off. I don't want to generate money that pays this. Just take me off. That's where I'm at. And I know that I'm actually, to be honest with you, surprised that my statements were picked up, because I thought people weren't really going to listen to me, because that's what I'm used to from the industry. But I'm glad that I am being heard. And for that reason, I want to clarify my statements. Again, this is why. Watch this.
Like, you know,
the nigger thing.
Yes. Saying the word nigger.
I already said nigger.
He is just like nigger.
Mm-hmm.
Saying nigger.
She's calling you a nigger. It's like this boy that he's a nigger, but starts calling them niggers.
Word nigger. There should be a word like nigger, especially like the word nigger. That's our nigger. He says nigger. Guy, a nigger.
My
and
then our nigger starts
saying nigger. I'm allowed to use the word nigger. Without the word nigger. See,
I
nigger,
was like, I just, say nigger, YouTube's going to flag nigger, this. Nigger. I don't.
So real quick, it's skipping because these were on her story.
People are taken out of context.
It's a hard
on. This happened to me many times.
Ooh, I'm hot. It's getting hot in here.
However, man, I want to be clear, in no uncertain terms, where I stand on this is that he shouldn't even be uttering the word. Don't even say it under any context. Don't say it. That's where I stand. It's my right to stand there. I have always stood there. I have other feelings about it, but those are nuances that are not meant for moment. He shouldn't even be saying it. The subscription fees go somewhere. So you take this money that's generated over here and you use it to invest in this guy. Do what you want. But take me off. Or pay me too. And I don't just mean me, I mean us. Artists like me, pay us too. Pay podcasters of color too.
Man.
So that's a deeper nuance.
Could you imagine $100 million Spotify deal for podcasting?
There's the black music that is the backbone of the whole music industry. That's the backbone of Spotify too. Who are historically underpaid and mistreated and all this stuff. Just there's a historical context here that makes all this matter. And then there's this guy, and you take this. No.
So, I can honestly say, I didn't even know Joe Rogan said nigga or nigger ever.
I didn't.
I don't listen to Joe Rogan's podcast.
Ain't nobody brought it up. And he's been throwing them out there. Like, you get a car, you get a nigger, you get a nigger. Because
he tucks it into the 4-hour episodes.
Dog, I've seen probably, I saw a little bit of Elon Musk's interview. Not much. And I saw a little bit of Kevin Hart's interview. And I watched some of Andrew Schultz on there. But it'd be like 3 hours. I might listen for 15 minutes. And then I'm not the target audience for Joe Rogan's thing. So I honestly didn't even know. N-word was right there. N-word was right there.
Mm-hmm.
He was like, no, I got to say it for you to know it.
To know what I'm.
Now, here's my thoughts. And then I want to hear your thoughts. Here's how I think Spotify reacts. Until they lose $200 million, ain't nothing going to happen to Joe Rogan.
No.
NDRE and Neil Young, great artists. It would take Beyonce, Taylor Swift, Drake, Kendrick Lamar, everybody. They would have to be losing hundreds of millions of dollars for them to stop. Once you put the $100 million out there, you got to give it to them. So the only way you eat that cost is if you are eating that cost the other way. Absolutely. Where it is now more expensive to keep him on than to lose him.
Yeah.
And I doubt, personally, Spotify, I don't use Spotify. It wasn't because
neither
of this.
I
just Apple Music and I just never could get to Spotify. But Josh, Spotify can be used for free, right?
That's what I was going to ask.
It's like Pandora in the sense where you can go and click a song and it'll play the station. Mm-hmm. Of the song, so like with its algorithm, whatever is close to that artist and that is trying to be pushed up, but there is ads that are
every couple of songs.
Yeah.
So okay. Why do people like to use Spotify?
But what is the podcasts are free though.
Oh, really?
Podcasts are free. I'm sure there's an ad.
I think from what I've heard about Spotify is their algorithm is much better than Apple Music's. If you listen to Essence, and it will you like this, it'll find you 12 different songs that you will really like. BPMs, artist-wise, based on other users. Mm-hmm. And I usually just click albums. I don't listen to like that.
Uh-huh.
Like Josh tells me what to listen to, or I listen to what people are talking about.
Yeah.
But from what I've heard from people, like their algorithm is really good at suggesting music. If you like to discover new music, it's great for that.
That's the tech company aspect about them, because they were the first people doing that algorithm-based playlist after Pandora.
Okay.
They're the people that put those two concepts together on a platform and made it an app. Pandora was just always like an online station that you could just go to.
Because I refuse to download another app. So that's the reason why I never got Spotify. People are like, oh no, I'll send it to you on Spotify. I'll never hear it.
What got a lot of people, and I was actually talking about this last night with somebody, what got a lot of people that started using these streaming apps though were the exclusivity contracts that these artists were signed in like 2014, 2015. Like when Drake's Views album came out, it was exclusive to Apple Music for like a week.
Mm-hmm.
I think they paid him like $20 million for just that drop.
For a week?
For a week. I mean, but you think about it, you know the impact that it had.
In that week, you got to be making $20 million back. Otherwise, you wouldn't give it to him.
I mean, they threw Chance a bag when he dropped Color Book on there.
Apple Music.
Then Tidal did their thing with Beyonce and whatnot, you know.
I did get titled to hear that Beyonce.
That's because they knew people weren't trying to download apps.
I was like, oh, you gonna give this to me? I'm shocked that this is the first that it took India cutting together this nigga remix for us to hear how many times he said it. But does it shock me? I feel like rich white men do whatever the hell they want.
Especially UFC ivermectin white men.
Yeah, like, And there is no, he definitely doesn't see that he's doing anything wrong. I think at the most, like you said, if money is not, they're not in jeopardy of losing a lot of money, maybe Spotify might ask him, hey, can you offer a public statement? But they're not about to fine him. They're not about to close down his show. And I don't know if there will be a mecca of other black artists that are just like, enough is enough. This is the highest paid talent you have on your platform. If you won't allow him to disrespect the rest of us. But
well, you, as an artist, you are losing your own money.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
you pull off Spotify.
Yeah.
You, that's a stand. Yeah. Neil Young was like, I think he said, don't quote me. He was like, 30% of my revenue comes from Spotify. NDRE is, that's real boycotting. Yeah. I am sacrificing my own thing. So you really got to feel strongly about it. Because people like me and you are like, I'm not listening on Spotify. It's like direct deposit. I'm not going to another bank. I just don't feel like it. Even Wells Fargo was like, we get you 2% more here. But I already, everything, it's just a whole thing.
Right.
So there's some music, if Chance the Rapper said, I'm out, I'm going to Spotify, I love you.
Beyonce or Chaka Khan would have to be put in, and then I would be like, somebody record it illegally and send it to me. But also, you know, I feel like this is the type of choices that we as black people and people who consider themselves to be our ally have to be willing to make.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Because we know what the bottom line is. We've already discussed it. We know that racism doesn't really come from people looking at your skin color and being like, you're evil. It comes from, I'm trying to make more money. I'm trying to be more wealthy. So you have to be below me in order for that to happen. And so unless we're willing to make those difficult choices that make us uncomfortable.
Yes.
And I feel like this is something that, like I said, black folk and people who are truly our ally have been having to make for a very long time.
Absolutely. On that racism thing, this is a quick aside and we can get back to this. I read an article this morning that said racist built systems for racist reasons that are maintained by non-racists, that are now maintained by non-racists for non-racist reasons, right? His point, he's talking about the NFL, which is also on our docket. We'll get to that later. But he used the example of housing and redlining, right? He said back in the day, it was legal to redline. You could say, Angel and her black family, y'all cannot move in this little white neighborhood, right? No matter how much money you had, whoever you were, you cannot move your black family into this neighborhood, right? So what happens to that neighborhood? Property value goes up. Property taxes pay for schools. That's a better school. Kids in the school get to go to that district. I mean, kids in the neighborhood get to go to that school. And that school district has more money. Poor kids go to the poor school. Mm-hmm. They don't have no resources. They become Abbott Elementary. And then you have West Hills High or Westover, whatever, right? Mm-hmm. Then the law says, yo, that's actually, we cannot do that so openly anymore. So it's now not illegal. Now you can't do it, blah, blah, blah. Then people who live in that rich neighborhood, they don't want poor kids coming out because poor kids coming in because they want to keep that school up. And they're not even like, I hate black people. They could even be Black Lives Matter. They're just like, I want to keep this school district good. And it becomes a neighborhood app and the next door app. Our neighborhood's going to crap. Yeah. We don't want these. Because then somebody says, hey, why don't we put some mixed income houses across the street? Let some of these poor kids go to the school. And they're like, absolutely not.
Right.
Right. But that's the house I bought in Tacoma. The only reason I could afford a house is because it was homeowners and mixed income.
Right.
If somebody didn't do the half and half, my black behind would have been an apartment over in Aspen Park for forever. But then what happens is people want to maintain that status quo and the esteem that comes in, they're not thinking about racist reasons. That's where we talk about white privilege and rich privilege and all that stuff. People want to maintain that neighborhood and keep it that way because they want their kids to have the best opportunity. But by doing that, you exclude other people from having the chance at that opportunity and you don't feel racist about it. And you're not really even acting as a racist. You're just acting in human nature in your own self-interest. We're parents. We want our kids to have the best chance at the best school. You either have to live in that neighborhood or have the money to pay for your kid to go into that private school or your kid better be smart enough or athletic enough to get into that school.
Yeah.
But most people don't have one of the four. Most people's kids go to the school in the neighborhood they live in, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. And that's also what goes into the NFL. One thing that I've learned in my own life as a person with a big platform, your intention rarely matters.
Right.
What matters is the impact. I had a little thing called Theological Thursdays.
Yes, you did, my
friend. I try to have me some conversations, too.
Yes, you did.
And boy, when I tell you, you talk about a four-video spread that had more negative impact in my life than all the years of it. I'm talking yeah. about four videos.
Four.
I was like,
I
had articles. I had DMs. I got to tell y'all this story one day. I'll tell you who it was one day. A cadre of Christians, high up, will I ever tell you this? Gospel artists called me on three-way.
Yes.
Okay, I'll tell people one day, and when I write my book, I'll tell you who
now,
it was.
I don't remember what they said, but I remember you said.
They called me and was like, we love what you're doing for the kingdom, but if you're going to have that person on, we're going to need you to have this person uh-huh. on. I said, how'd y'all get my number? It was like a group of them. They had did like a FaceTime intervention. I uh-huh. mean, these are gospel artists, preacher.
That was a mob meeting, man.
Oh, my God. Mm-hmm. Now, we love you, but we're going to need you to fix this. Amen. In love. Oh, so when I tell you, I was like, theological, what? I hate Thursdays. I'm going right back. I saw something on the internet, this funny thing that's relatable, but nobody will get mad. And that's four videos. Joe Rogan does this every week, multiple times mm-hmm. a week. And the thing is, like, the reason he won't get in trouble with Spotify, the other reason is his audience is so anti-cancel culture. Mm-hmm. They will do more.
Yeah.
If they have a perceived threat.
Yeah.
If Spotify even, Spotify knows better, but if Spotify even starts talking about suspending him, make a statement, they will either, they wouldn't leave Spotify. They would probably listen more.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They'll go to premium accounts. Mm-hmm. It'll generate more money for Joe Rogan because whatever is anti-mainstream is his audience's thing.
Yeah.
Right. That's what people was at the Dave Chappelle thing. As long as you're anti whatever the mainstream is, you're our guy. Whether you're funny, on our right, doesn't matter. As long as you're talking about what we're talking about, you're good. So I highly doubt anything happens to them. It's going to take more than NDRE and Neil Young. No disrespect to either of them. That's an amazing step to make. But Spotify is probably like, we are not losing $100 million.
Right.
Over five years with y'all.
They're not. Their bottom line is the bottom line.
Right.
And if Joe Rogan is what's keeping their bottom line where they want it to be, he's not going to go anywhere. Like I said, the most I could see happening is, especially since he did address the COVID misinformation, the most that I could see him doing is just making a statement about, you know, it was taken out of context. Mm-hmm. If it offended anyone, I apologize. And that's it. It's not going to be anything more than that because Spotify has known this has been going on the entire time. They're not confused. They're like, yes.
He's been hot water the whole time he's been on Spotify.
Yeah. So, and they're okay with it. And, but like I said, I feel like there always comes a time where for some people, the sacrifice is bigger, mm-hmm. like a India, like a Neo, like a football player. Like a Colin Kaepernick, where you lose your income, lose your career. Some people make that big of a sacrifice.
I actually think that's the best thing Colin Kaepernick could have ever done.
Oh, yeah.
He's not getting no TV show if he's still in the NFL.
He's way more memorable
in the minds of people. And I'm not even saying that's why he did it. Please do not say that.
But
I'm just saying, because he did that, he is more memorable than he would have ever been if he would have stayed in the NFL and played starting quarterback or backup quarterback.
My husband is a fan because of it. He would have been like, oh, I know who that is, but not an actual avid, dude, what you're doing is amazing.
Yeah.
So, you know, like I said, it's unfortunate, but I don't think Spotify's mission is to be the leaders in
they're not an American company.
Right.
Swedish company or something. Yeah. Swedish? They don't care.
Yeah, they're not like we're here for equity in amplifying voices of color. We are here for these subscriptions and these ads.
I have a question. Josh, can you come back real quick? Yeah, sorry. It's all good.
He's building something.
Because this is a question I've had for a long time. Explain this to me like I'm five. artists get paid literally less than pennies on the dollar, right?
Yes,
from Spotify,
like a tenth of a cent per play,
right? One, how so? Forgive my ignorance. No. Does the record label say this is how you make it? Like, why do it?
Because these are tech companies in music. They're not music first. They don't care about the music. They care about the user. Companies being Spotify, I would say Spotify is the best example that they don't care whatever deal that they work out with UMG or what are the major overall umbrellas. They don't care what that breaks down, how that artist gets paid versus having the access to the music, having access to the catalog in the library.
Yeah.
And they make, I don't know the exact, what's it called? The exact dollar per song or whatever that gets played. But they would much rather take that as the margin, the profit margin on that, instead of paying artists directly whatever they, because like I said, they do not care about that at all.
So it's better to get those pennies on the dollar than to not get them, essentially, because radio's not radio's not what it used to be. So it's like, at least this way I can access your music. Mm-hmm. Whereas if it's not on Spotify and Apple Music and Tidal or whatever.
Yeah, because for them, they'd rather their music be out somehow on these playlists somehow. Well, not somehow. A lot of them get paid to be in the major playlist.
Mm-hmm.
But for their music to be out, for you and me to be able to listen to them,
yeah.
Ideally, that makes us a fan. We want to see them live. They make money off touring. Ah. They make money off of
so this merch. Is equivalent to me putting money or videos on Instagram. I'm not getting paid hardly nothing.
Right.
But then people, you can come see
people
me live.
People are on these platforms discovering music, just like popping up in algorithms on a For You page or whatever.
Got it. So it's a part of their business model, even if it's not
unless
the most lucrative part.
Unless you completely own your masters and you're a very successful artist where people's back catalogs are very valuable.
So the big ones get actual bread.
Yeah, absolutely.
I know Khalid was like the number one Spotify artist 1 year or top five.
Yeah.
And it was like, it was... You know Khalid's music.
Your location and I knew you. Everybody knows that one.
I don't like Khalid.
El Paso's fine.
I was one of the. I could have been the big, most famous person from El Paso.
He was like 18 when that song came out.
And then Khalid came out, and he's not even only from El Paso. He's from Northeast El Paso. I was like, yeah.
So you're number two.
No, man, that's one thing I had going for me.
I'm sorry.
With my kids' generation, I'm never gonna beat Khalid. No. I'm gonna be like, who's Kevin Frederiks? I was like, but then Khalid makes great music. I love him as a kid. I hate that he's from El Paso. I was like, nobody's from El Paso.
He is. I'm sorry, friend, but you can use one of the other places.
No, man, because J. Cole's from Fayetteville. That's out.
Oh, yeah.
And Tacoma in Seattle, the freaking Supersonics and all the people from there.
Well, Supersonics left. You can still,
but the people are still known.
You're the most famous person from your daddy's boat. There you go. You're so famous.
I was killing El Paso for a good... Mm-hmm. I had no competition. All I had was the salsa. All I had was Old El Paso and the movie Glory or whatever, the Glory Days. That's the two things
I had. All I had was the salsa. I
had the salsa and the one movie about UTEP.
We had the crunchy shells.
All I had you from the crunchy shell place. Yes. Get a rope. You remember the commercial?
You need to see if you can do a deal with them and get on their boxes. Then you have a better,
I do. I'm 1/8 Mex.
Okay,
I need it to happen to La Raza. Old El Paso used to have some really funny commercials. This song is from New York City. New York City. Get a rope.
Yeah.
And then I was like, man, they went off and I'm like, all right, man, I'm good. And then Khalid send me your location. I said, oh, this is a cool song. What's the location?
Came out and he was like,
Northeast
17.
El Paso? Ah.
Come out with your album and you're going to knock him out.
Unruly Cousins. Why are we not making it?
Kevin,
why are we not?
I will throw Ava at you.
Not making the music.
I'm not doing this.
Come on, guys.
Let me
hear some beats.
Somebody sent me.
You got a folder of beats in your inbox right now.
Somebody sent me a picture that they had made and they sent it to Kevin of Kevin as the Monopoly man. And it said, monopolizing Angel's time. Kevin does not care if people have lives.
What? Mm. That's crazy.
I am a friend that, in my life, friend, romantic, I take up a lot of space.
Facts.
I take up a lot of space in people's life. You got to tell me no. And tell me no.
Good space, though.
Tell me no, I will never talk to you again. It's that simple. I will. Apparently, this is a Taurus thing. I didn't know this. I am loyal to a fault. I love you. Come, hug, hug. I'm monopolizing your time. Depart from me, you worker of iniquity. I know you not. I never
signed this contract. Welcome to death row.
Kevin is a tapeworm, is what he is.
He makes your doo-doo with white speckles in it.
Yes.
He's touching. He's like, that's Kev.
I agreed, and this is, so I'll take blame for one thing, but it was something that I wanted to participate in, was the casting for his show, because I don't want my friend to sell his show short by just casting people that he's like, oh, they have two eyes and can read, and they can read words. I'm like, no, this has the potential to be really good, but it does take you hiring qualified actors. So I was like, please allow me to be in the casting session, because I have no idea what you would have done. Like,
it would have been cast. The people that you hate, it would have been cast. We would be, no lie, we would, if you weren't in a part of this process, we'd be rehearsing right now.
I don't know what you would have done at the callback, is what I'm saying.
I would have Googled
what do do at callback. What I don't, there wouldn't have been callbacks.
There wouldn't have been a call.
You would, I would have said it, like, in the audition. Sign.
No, this is,
you're Kev, the first audition for this role. You can read English and talk words.
I think this person would be great for this. We're shooting next week. You're casted for the
show. I was supposed to be shooting the show last October. On tour, by the way.
You're supposed to be rolling out right now.
Because you're a nut job.
We're behind.
So
I was like, hey, Kevin, before casting, you need to start having like table reads so you can hear the script to make sure there are no plot holes. So he's like, bet. Right after callbacks, we'll do a table read. And I was like, good. You know what? He told me what the table read is. I'll pop in when I can. And I get a text at 10:05. Hey, you still going to make it to the table read? And I was like, okay, where's the Zoom link? He's like, hey, so Angel, can you read the what? Can I read? Because I even asked you, I said, did you cast your table read? You said, yeah. At no point in time did he say.
You were cast. I cast you already.
This was a 4 hour. A 4 hour. This is something that you actually explicitly asked someone. Can I have 4 hours of your day?
I sent them.
But this is Kev. This is Kev. But you're at home. Zoom, huh? Zoom.
Let me tell you what Angel did. First of all, she's an amazing actress. Every character she played, I was like, ooh, you can play that. And then we can put you in makeup and you can play that. Why am I even casting, period? Every woman is Angel. Hello, girlfriend, I love you. Angel. Mother, Angel. Sister Sharon, Angel. Man, funny. This woman is all over the place.
That's a great sketch.
Angel could do everything.
That's a great sketch.
Right? I was like, ooh, I was writing notes. Sister Sharon, I'm monopolizing time. But then Angel was like, I got stuff to do. She's doing laundry in the Zoom.
Oh, yeah.
She's doing a full Peloton workout, Josh.
As she should. She got
on a Peloton, muted the thing, was like, yep, I'm on my Peloton. Then when it was her turn,
she just
finished her workout in enough time, because it was like a 20-minute break where her character didn't have nothing. And when that her 20-minute ride was over, she was right back. She said, praise the Lord, y'all. Yes, honey, finna do this. And I got the Apple Watch notification. I was like, this woman is crazy. She's crazier than I am.
I was like, I want to do the things that I do.
Remember your self-care Thursdays, Angel?
That's what it was. It was my self-care day.
I remember because I'm your friend, Angel.
Yes,
it's crazy.
Kevin was like, I'm sorry. I'm taking your self-care day.
Remember those bat?
Am I sorry?
Yeah, that's the thing. I was like, but you're not.
I am, though.
No, you're not.
I am.
You're like, it's perfect because I know you're not doing anything that brings you money. So that's fine.
I can pay you.
Leave me alone. Leave me alone. So anyways, I just don't.
But Angel said I was a good actor.
Oh, but then during the casting, as we're doing the callbacks, hey, Angel, can you coach me, acting coach me?
In real time?
Yes, and I was like, yeah. And then he sends me a meme, and I'm so stupid. It is dice being thrown in the dice land on Snake Eyes, right? And I was like, what does Snake
Eyes? No. Say the whole thing.
I'm going to add. Okay. So I'm Googling, what does Snake Eyes mean? Like, what does that mean? And I was like, what does that mean? He was like, monopolizing your time. I'm completely not realizing the dice are being thrown on a Monopoly board in the meme. I was really like, the dice represent what he's trying to say. The words Monopoly, huge. I said, I'm such an idiot. Marcus was like, are you still on this Zoom? I was like, yes.
Let me tell you what. I will monopolize your time, but it will be lucrative for you.
It better.
It better. It will be lucrative for you. To be a friend of mine in a working relationship, the one thing I do is pay my people. I pay my people. All right, let's go to the next story. Mm-hmm. We very rarely, if ever, ever talk about sports on here.
Because usually cannot offer any perspective.
But you got a thought on this.
Oh, I do.
This was this is a bombshell that dropped earlier this week. Brian Flores, a black head coach, was fired from the Dolphins after the end of this last season. Last week, he introduced a lawsuit to the NFL. The Brian Flores lawsuit is a bombshell. He alleges Miami owner Stephen Ross offered to pay him $100,000 for each loss. Ross pressured him to tamper, and he has texts from Bill Belichick to show that the Giants already had their coach picked before they even interviewed him. All right, now, let me read the text message.
I want you to clarify something, because there was something in there that I was like, hold on, I don't get. Shoot, sorry, it just jumped. It was something about the money. Okay. So the Miami Dolphins owner wanted Brian Flores to lose and was going to pay him $100,000. Mm-hmm. Why?
Because when you lose in the NFL, the more you lose, basically, the way the draft works is the worse you were that season, the better draft pick you get. So it's called tanking. So if you lose all 16 games, you're more than likely going to get the first. Actually, I think you're going to get the first pick in the NFL draft, which means you're likely going to get a good quarterback.
Okay, and then the second part, and then we can continue. Ross pressured him to tamper. Is that still referring to the first thing?
Yeah.
Or is there a different way to tamper as
tamper
well?
With the, like, I don't know exactly, but I think he meant tamper with the winning. Make sure they lose.
Okay, got it. Yeah. Now we can continue.
All right, so let's read the text from Bill Belichick. Text from Bill to Brian says.
I'll read.
You'll be Bill? Okay, you be Bill. He's great.
Giants?
I interview on Thursday. I think I have a shot at it.
Got it. I hear from Buffalo and New York Giants that you're their guy. Hope it works out if you want it to.
That's definitely what I want. I hope you're right, Coach. Thank you. Coach, are you talking to Brian Flores or Brian DeBoe or Dabble? Just making sure.
Sorry. I effed this up. I double checked and misread the text. I think they're naming DeBoe. I'm sorry for that, BB.
Thanks, Bill. So what Brian Flores is alleging, if you're unaware, the NFL has something called the Rooney Rule. And it means that...
Wait a minute. The tampering, they said the tampering was about talking to Brady before he was an agent or to get Deshaun Watson, one of the two.
Oh, okay. My bad.
So a whole nother.
Got it.
Okay.
Tampering was to get a player from the other team to come to his when they were under contract.
Got it. Okay.
Brady. Okay, thank you, guys. Oh, on a yacht. That's the most Miami thing ever.
My mother said, link, please.
So, the Rooney Rule states that before you hire an NFL head coach, general manager, and one other role, you have to at least interview one black person. And black coaches have said that they are often interviewing for jobs that they know they're not going to get or are already filled. So Brian Flores' whole point is, if you, Bill Belichick, who don't even work for the Giants, if you already know that Brian DeBoe or DeBull, DeBall, Brian D is getting the job, why am I interviewing?
Exactly.
Another black coach said he had interviewed for the Broncos job, and John Elway and another person, John Elway is the general manager, I believe, John Elway and another dude showed up an hour late, and they were hungover, clearly had a heavy night of drinking throughout his interview, and he was like, I'm not getting this job. So they're basically saying that the Rooney Rule is a sham, and they're not, they're just being interviewed because they have to be, and they're not going to get any job. Now, the NFL, if I believe, is 75% black, and right now there's one black head coach.
Jesus. They said they have to interview two minorities before.
Oh, two minorities? Uh-huh. Two blacks? Or two Mexican? Minorities.
A woman, which that's not
happening. Dable. Brian Dable. Thank you, Josh.
Dable.
Dable. Huh?
Huh? You know what? This happens all the time in, what is this called? In the entertainment industry, mm-hmm. where things are already cast, but they just want to waste your time.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure it's even worse in this instance because there is not an infinite amount of opportunities that are going to open up. There's right. only so many NFL teams. There's yeah. only so many head coaching positions. Yes. So to think that, like, you're not given a real opportunity when you know, like, hey, there's only so many teams that are, like, hiring head coaches. And if y'all going to already have somebody, then don't waste my time.
And my flight. Like, just.
My energy.
Just hire the white man.
Listen, when I know that something has already been cast, when I can feel it in my spirit. You're not going to get a good performance out of it.
Then they'd be like, this is why I already cast this.
Yeah, like especially, for instance, that the family reunion, is that what it's called? It's on
Netflix?
Yes. I said when I read it, I said, this is for Tia Mowry.
Mm.
I was like, this is like a little hippie kind of mom, new age mom. I was like, and there's no names attached yet? Why are they auditioning regular black women?
Regular black.
And they had the nerve to call me back.
They called you back?
Yes.
Playing with you?
That's what they do. That's what they do.
That's why they don't call me back. They know don't play with me. You tell me no or never talk to me again.
They call you back, Kevin.
They don't call me back. I auditioned for that. They were like, thank you.
But you got called back for the thing that we were going to be playing opposite of each other.
I did get called back for that.
Yeah, you got called back.
And then they called somebody else.
They did.
They ain't never been. I've never been cast. The one time I've been cast, they called me direct.
No worries, because listen, we about to get you so right that if you ever decide I'll enter the auditioning pool again, you gonna wreck shop.
You won't get to tell me no.
You say
you
that.
Won't get the chance.
If it is something big, you're gonna be like, I will be proud of this no.
Except for Marvel. I want Marvel to hire me. I want them to do what they did to Kamal. Pay for his nutritionist. His trainer, his dietitian, give him $2 million up front. You got to get in shape. Done. Give me millions of dollars. I'll do it. Give me my own thing. I went to Chick-fil-A yesterday.
No, but like, even if it was like a Marvel, you're not a hero, but you getting to have a couple of lines. Kevin, you're going to audition. You could be the clerk handing. Wait a minute. Are you Spider-Man? Get out. Come on. Let me take a picture with you.
I absolutely would audition for that.
I would kill
that.
Yes.
I would kill as the clerk. And then somehow Spider-Man bites me and I'm Spider-Man.
Oh, he bites?
He's like, you know what? Ah. And I'm like, regular built dad bod Spider-Man. Well, I can't like pull myself up too heavy by the building because my lower back go out. So I'm just on the subway. Like, yeah, I can't be doing all that swinging.
throwing hammocks to wrap around you. He like,
I ain't gonna hold you. Spider-Man bit me. That second swing, my shoulder go pop out. Ah! I'm gonna fall from the high. I would give the brakes. Doc Ock is going to work on me. Hey, times.
Your shoulder go out and then you land. Oh, my bladder fishy out.
I got too many injuries. Spider-Man, I got to have those insoles built in the bottom of my suit. Because I'm not fighting nobody when my feet are hot. You can forget about it.
Call your feet hot.
That's what happens when my plantar fasciitis be acting up. My foot be hot. I'm going to be like, take it, steal it, rob it.
Mary Jane, it's fine. My feet is hot, girl.
the bank robber is going to cut, is going to run out, money flying anywhere, everywhere. They're going to cut to me on a building like, ooh, these just, I got to get new. In. So I'm going to be rubbing my foot on the top of the Empire State Building.
Right. Ooh, Jesus. What they're going to do. They're going to make sure that your friends on the Apple Watch to just wait to see after you've done your white woman walks. Now's the time. He's not going to be prepared to fight us.
Also, let me tell you something else you just made me realize. Yeah. I can't be Spider-Man. I'm be in that bed at 9 o'clock. All y'all crimes better be done during between 6 and 8:30. Because I put my kids to bed. I put Monty up in that bed. 9 to 6 a.m.? The city is over.
Then you a crossing guard. That's the only
thing. Let me do daytime crimes. Okay? Let the night crime.
Jaywalking.
Get your butt over here. Them night crimes, that's for the young. Batman, Spider-Man, Daredevil. It's dark for him all the time anyway. It don't make him no, never mind. I'm crime. I could do financial crimes. I'll be doing that on paperwork. What is that, embezzlement? Ooh, I'm going to take a lunch. Superheroes don't get to take lunch, do they?
They don't. They eat on the go.
There's no retirement for superheroes.
Nah, man.
Actually, that'd be a good show.
That's why I like older Spider-Man. He was in the Marvel Universe. He was like, ooh, my back. He was 45. He can't do that.
And you liked a vacation too much. Oh. You were like, I'm in the Maldives.
This web ain't going nowhere. Ain't nothing to... I'm just wasting it.
Just playing. There you go. Well, the place that you and Liz went, that's how you keep out the mosquitoes. Just
oh my God. Now
I fix that.
They gotta pass the power to somebody else. I would be the waste of a
That's what I'm saying. You could be the clerk.
I'd be the clerk.
Taking a picture.
I could be the clerk. I gotta get in that bed. I'm tired. I can't be fighting crime every day. They fight every day?
Every day, apparently.
I need a self-care day. I need to go get a
That's crazy. It should be Thursdays.
But anyway, back to this NFL thing.
Yes, I was going
to
say, how did we get here?
I don't know how we got here. But the thing is, let me tell you what, this kind of goes back to the racist. Things are built upon the back of racists, and you don't even be racist anymore. You don't even act in racism. You just be, it's a good old boy club.
Oh,
you
100%.
You want your boy, or you're the son of your boy. You want to hook him up. You're not looking out for the black person. You're not. You don't necessarily hate black people or want the worst for them. You just want your. It's the same thing. Nepotism. I've said this a million times. Nepotism in Hollywood is equally as bad as racism. Mm-hmm. Most of this industry is Angel. I need a DP. Who you know? Mm-hmm. The DPs you are gonna know are gonna be black. Josh, I need another photographer. Josh's friends are gonna be Mexican, black. He's not gonna be like, here's Jerry. From film school in Hoboken.
You know why I feel like other than just the fact of people being trash, but another reason why nepotism still runs so strong and we still use it is because there's no HR.
It's a job-to-job thing.
Yeah, it's the fact of the matter is there's no real oversight. As you can see, that's one big reason why the Me Too movement had to happen.
Yep.
Is because nobody is the oversight. So if people are acting up, it's just you, the production, have to figure out how to handle it. So to try to remove that, they're like, who do you know that won't jack this situation up?
Yes. And that's why Harvey Weinstein was so successful in Hollywood and at his crimes. Mm-hmm. Harvey Weinstein really could make it hard for you.
Yes.
And he really could make it good for you.
Because there was nobody to keep him from doing it.
No.
He had no HR that would be like, man, you can't keep making these women sleep with you on the couch. This is
can't
not.
Do that.
It's crazy.
And when he told Quentin Tarantino, don't hire this woman or I won't do X, Y, and Z for you, then Quentin Tarantino is like, well, I won't do it. Like, that's real power.
And like, you're not terrifying. Asking the person, yeah. You're not asking why. Like, mm-mm. if I said to you, I mean, you might ask why because you nosy and so am I. If I said, who's not going to work on this show with you
is
this person. You would more than likely, unless this person was somebody so magnificent that you'd be just like, Angel, we just going to have to take this little hardship in our friendship and we'll figure it out later. But if I was dead serious, you'd be like, all right, bet.
Yeah.
I'm not.
They must have did something to you in the past that don't sit well with you, then don't sit well with me. So Harvey's not saying, oh, she wouldn't suck my thing.
Right.
He's just saying,
she's hard to work with.
Yeah, she's hard. And that
she's hard to work with. The thing about this industry, you work with people for 12 to 16 hours a day for months at a time.
Yes.
You don't even have to know why they're hard to work with.
Right.
Just hearing that they're hard to work with is like, oh, no, I don't want to be around nobody that's hard to work with. Just never mind.
Yeah.
Like, they try to tell you that I was a diva. Imagine if they were like, oh, no, Kev is like what if they were serious? Like, no, Kev is like a jerk on the road, blah, blah, blah. And you just had to deal with, and you didn't have, I mean, you didn't have to deal with that. If you had like another offer or you just didn't want to do it, you'd be like, I don't need that.
Right, right, right.
But most of the people, the women, they can't say, I'm not hard to work with, because they're not around when that conversation is happening.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So Kat actually had a good point. She said HR is there to protect the company, not the employee.
I absolutely agree with that. But in protecting the company, they're trying to avoid whatever lawsuit.
Oh, yeah, yeah, for so
that's,
sure.
That's absolutely what I mean by HR. I'm not saying that it's like, oh, now the employee has a friend in it. But if there's a bunch of activities that are happening that could eventually yank that whole company down, they will put a stop to it.
Absolutely.
Or either figure out a way to cover it up.
They could try, but I mean, I've seen instances where there was nepotism around HR.
Oh, and man.
HR was out.
No lie. At a company we worked at,
okay,
that had letters in the alphabet.
Uh-huh.
A person walked in. this is wild but true. Person walked in to tell on another person, right, to the HR. Told the HR about the person they had a beef with. Right, wasn't anything sexual, just beef. Told the HR. Came out, the person they were talking about knew what conversation was happening, stared that person down, back to their desk. The HR went and told the boss of the company.
HR protocol.
Within a week,
the person
was gone.
HR was fired.
I believe it.
So the person who told HR was like, I'm not talking to nobody no more. I'm not saying nothing about this.
The person ain't got no job no more.
How you gonna protect me? You don't. They turned your email off.
I mean, it is definitely. I know that is a practice that can happen, but it's also a gamble that the company is taking because people can then file a lawsuit.
Could have, but people without money have a hard time filing lawsuits.
They surely do. But I go ahead. No, I know somebody who definitely filed a lawsuit, and it took 3 years, but they won.
Cardi B?
No.
Oh
no, this is actually a person. Oh, you know that somebody?
No. Yeah, and they won.
They sure did. They had enough proof.
Wow. Interesting. All right, before we go, this blew up on Twitter yesterday, and it's just, boy, as a person with a large platform, I can tell you it bothered me. So let me find the beginning of this.
Is that a phone call?
It's the people outside.
Man, hush.
Okay.
Why are you outside on speakerphone?
The person tweeted, Lem Fowl, one of the major makeup girls is trying to one of the major makeup girls trying to rebrand as a fitness girl is funny to me. The major makeup girl they were talking about is Alyssa Ashley. And in her retweets, she basically confirmed that. People sent it to Alyssa, and Alyssa said, people keep tagging me, so a word of advice to anyone. It is normal to discover new passions, and it is okay to explore those passions. My content has always reflected what I'm passionate about, from makeup to photography and now health and fitness, and this is the happiest I've been. The person who made the tweet responded, not only did I not say your name, Alyssa Ashley, you took it upon yourself to open my fat A to violence, so thank you, heart. I'll make sure to send these screenshots of death threats I'm getting too. And Alyssa responded and said, you put up an unnecessary tweet hoping people would agree and talk crap with you. Things took a turn because people found it weird. It was sent to me. I took it as a moment to remind people to pursue whatever passion makes them happy. And now you're the victim. And this went on and on and on for most of yesterday and today. People were like, on both sides, a lot of people agree with Alyssa. I side with her as well.
Me too.
And people were like, Alyssa could have not responded. And I think people often think that people with big platforms aren't just people, even not even traditional celebrities like Cardi B, Drake level. But Alyssa's a YouTuber and Instagrammer who used to like makeup, do makeup, doesn't anymore. Actually took her makeup videos down. Does photography and works out. And she's not even a fitness influencer. She's not pushing a meal plan or exercise program. She's just working out.
Her body using
doing what social media people do.
Her body, I want to know blessed. What she's doing fitness-wise.
She's blessed.
Her body is that's stupid. All I'm going to say.
She's she blessed. Works out a lot. No,
she's in the gym probably like 3 hours a day.
God dang.
At least 5 or 6 days a week.
Her whole body, everything, thigh, butt, abs, arms.
She came up makeup and photography though, right?
Mostly makeup, but her like and her photography
YouTube,
is
like her YouTube audience is makeup though.
Her her pictures were like, how are your pictures like?
It's
this?
Been really cool watching her as a creative though navigate spaces like that without putting up those walls around her that like this is just what I am.
Yes,
I don't know why people listen. Do not box me in. I'm going to do whatever the hell I want in this wild, wild west that is content creation.
Yeah.
Nobody has the right to say what you can and cannot make as far as in what you should be passionate about. There are people that be having, I mean, it is funny to watch, that be having babies for the first time and giving out parenting hacks. And I'll be like, this is
why are you on TikTok? Why are you on my For You page?
But you know what? They're not for me, but they might be for someone who had a baby a month after them. They like, so what did you do last month?
Yes, yes.
So it's not for me to be like, you can't talk about this. You don't know what you're talking about. Well, yeah, it's not, I'm not your audience then.
Well, and the thing Alyssa said is, I was just going to the gym. Her audience was like, hey, if you're not going to do makeup, could you show us your fitness stuff? Like, what you been doing? Because I want to look like you. So that's why she started making the videos, and she's a creator, so she likes to make videos. The point to me that is interesting about the internet, and this is why I'm actually getting stronger in my resolve, people really will talk about, it's like, I didn't name you. That's like saying the comedian who made his own app with his own name in it is now struggling to do X, Y, and Z. Well, it don't take a rocket scientist to figure out who that is, especially if you answer them in the comments. And then one of our other tweets is like, oh, y'all know who I'm talking about? Y'all think it's funny too? You doing this.
You being passive aggressive. That's all this is.
And when, okay, now when that person responds, stand 10 toes down in it.
Yeah. That only that person only had issue with it because they felt like they got called out on saying what they said and felt attacked by everybody else that was commenting back at them.
Yeah, and the person was like, I'm just so small. The person has like 10,000 followers. That's not a little account. Now, Alyssa's one has 400,000. She has a lot.
Right.
On Twitter, right?
Yeah. She has a lot. But 10,000 is not small.
That's all I've seen.
Listen, no. I can understand why anybody would be following her and not care about fitness or makeup. She's amazing to look at. But yeah, it is. I don't know if people think that we're doctors. This is not like a doctor
who normally works. She got 2 million on YouTube?
She's big.
Sorry, keep going. No, I saw that in the chat.
I can see why people would have a problem if you're a podiatrist and then all of a sudden you become a gynecologist and people are like, no, you can't just rebrand like this.
Right. Or she's selling flat tummy tea and stuff, like selling the negative. She ain't doing nothing but working out and posting about it.
Even if she was, we out here trying to get these coins. Period.
She's at work. Let her work.
She's just using social media like everybody else. Everybody just shows what they're doing with their life.
I just don't care. Listen, people ask me all the time about my skincare routine. I don't give one because I don't have one. But let me one day get into actually a skincare routine. Let me one day decide that I actually care.
Right. What are you going to say? No, if Fenty Skin is like, hey,
or Lancome throw you a bag to say this is why your skin is nice.
I'm going to monetize it. I'm going to do it.
You're going to find a way to do it. Like,
abso-freaking-lutely.
Because why not?
The only reason why I don't now is because I honestly don't have a skincare routine and my skin just look like this. But if I ever find one that I like, even though my skin already look like this, I'm going to be like, try this.
Here's the thing. You just reminded me of this.
That's hypocritical. No, it's not. Not when I'm telling you I'm going to do it. It's actually honesty.
The complete opposite
of here's the thing.
Being a hypocrite.
Even if the girl wasn't talking about Alyssa, The whole point, the whole use of Twitter, you could have shared that thought even if you weren't the person.
Right.
Like, even if Alyssa is not, if the person's talking about makeup user X, mm-hmm. who is doing what she said, Alyssa could say, it's actually still okay to change your thoughts on stuff, right? It can be funny to the girl. And if the person can also say it's actually okay for you to do that, both things can be true. She doesn't have to be talking about you for her thought to be true. And when you put a tweet out into the world, especially when you're talking about somebody specific, you have to be prepared for that person to respond. And to me, what's whack to me is now I'm getting these. She didn't send. A lot of time, big people with big accounts send people to attack.
Mm-hmm. No, yeah, she didn't.
Simply commented on, which became almost the dominant conversation of the timeline yesterday.
I'm just here to clear my name.
Real, yeah, like, and
people think just because somebody has a big following that they're not on Twitter like everybody else.
Yeah,
there's a reason they got that big following. With the exception of a couple crazy A-list celebrities, if they're just genuinely creating and engaging with people, they're gonna develop like that to that type of platform. Everybody's on it. If you have that type of following, I believe that's
yeah. And that's my biggest issue is somebody in the comments said it as well. It's throwing rocks and hiding your hand.
Yeah.
If you think it's funny, okay. Well, when the person say that, mm-hmm. yeah, I thought it was funny.
I still think it's funny, girl.
But now I'm the victim, and you're using your audience to attack me. First of all, she did not. Mm-hmm. She merely. I mean, and a lot of people have said some version of this. Why don't you do this? Like, it's got to get annoying to, and this is the thing about that I think people don't often think of. When you're getting attacked or people even not even attacked or just having an opinion, when you're a big person, you're getting that opinion on every platform.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
When I had Theological Thursdays, when I was doing that, I would be getting dragged on Twitter, mm-hmm. but I'd be getting the same thing in YouTube, in Instagram, in Facebook, in emails. Melissa would be getting. So it's not just the platform you're on. It's people hitting you everywhere and then writing articles about it or making podcast topics about it. So it's like almost like you can't even avoid the stuff. So it's like, and that sort of spotlight very rarely hits people without big platforms. You know what I'm saying?
Let me tell you on a side note of why I'm here for, I don't even know Alyssa, but I'm here for her doing whatever. One of my favorite fitness people, Kiara Lachey.
Yeah.
She started off doing her, well, actually, she started off as a singer dancer. Then she started doing twerk, like cardio, right? So, of course, it speaks to my spirit. Mm. Let me tell you all the businesses this woman has. So she has her workout and she has an online gym. She then came out with her own vegan protein powder. She then came out with her own clothing line that mm-hmm. is like luxury. Then she came out with an athletic wear called Say It Loud.
She's out of here.
Then she came up with, she's coming out with a beauty line to name after her daughter.
Golly.
She is going after every coin and I am here for it. Nobody probably asked her for a beauty line. She's not going to wait.
Ain't going to make me no never mind.
She's not going to wait for somebody to come up with
but
it.
But also, all this backlash could be avoided if you just minded your business.
Mind your business. Mind your business.
And isn't, Alyssa Ashford, isn't she like in her mid-20s?
I don't know.
I can believe it.
She's in her 20s maybe. For sure. But you know how many like pivots and stuff people do? She just has a public eye on her content.
Dog, if you look at my life from just post-college, I was making plays on stages, mm-hmm. literal theater, stopped doing that, was a basketball coach, could have gone down that path. My son didn't care anymore, stopped doing that. Got into stand-up comedy, loved that. I never stopped doing that. Then I became a YouTube creator. Then I became a person working at a regular job, creating on all the platforms. Now I have an app. I could make movies. I could stop
you
the app.
Podcasts. Host podcast. You were podcast. Not a podcast host a few years ago.
I sure wasn't. You know, we started with the Love Hour. We are writing a book. The book will be coming out soon. Author.
Yes.
And then I might, 2 years, 3 years, be just a movie star. Come or a on. Television star.
Look at you.
Or a celebrity chef.
Yes, you could be.
I could be those things. My point is, I just feel like let people live their life or comment on their life and be prepared for them to comment back.
Be prepared. I want to show you something before we close out because when I saw it, I was like, I can't give you the phone. Hold on.
I mean, while you're pulling it up.
Kat says she's 27.
I mean, that's what I'm saying. Like, I've even thought about the last 3 years of my life.
Mm-hmm.
It just, you start developing more interest, or you start developing, you become better in something, and then you're like, oh, I also want to try doing this and getting better at that. Like, there's
absolutely.
But Will Smith started in music.
Yes.
TV show that he had no acting experience going into.
Not one.
Movie star. No music no more. No TV no more.
He did the Icon remix, didn't he?
Let me see it. So this just came down the pike or pipe. I never know which one it is.
Pipe.
Fantasia Barrino and Daniel pipe. Brooks to play Celie and Sophia in the Color Purple movie. So this is, I heard about this. I didn't realize they both got cast. Fantasia Celie, I imagine, right?
Yeah.
I love Daniel Brooks. Mm-hmm. This is a movie based on the Broadway musical, right?
I
didn't realize they're cast people already.
I don't know if they're doing it, if it's going to, well, because I'm assuming so, because why else would they hire two singers?
Right. Oh, yes. Yes. That makes sense. Wait, Daniel Brooks is a singer?
Yeah, she played.
Oh, yes, 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 yes.
She
yes.
played Sophia on, I mean, yeah, she played Sophia on Broadway.
Really?
Mm-hmm. With,
so wait, the book?
Go ahead.
What is The Color Purple, like, the book? I know the book came first.
Yeah, Alice Walker did the book.
Did the movie come after that?
Then Steven Spielberg. Yeah. He did the movie, but the movie is definitely takes some hard turns away from the actual okay. book. The Broadway show gets a little back closer because they address that Celie was in a lesbian relationship.
With your girl? Shug.
Which the movie completely. The
movie was like, what?
Lesbian.
There was a little look.
There was a look and a kiss, and that was it.
Yeah.
They were in a full-fledged relationship.
Really? Did you read the book?
No. Once I watched the musical, I was like, what happened? And then I read, like, more of a synopsis of, oh, why it is in the musical. So, yes, Daniel Brooks, I do believe, was Sophia at around the same time as Cynthia Erivo. I think when Cynthia Erivo came back to play.
She was Celie too?
Yeah, she played Celie.
I didn't know.
Oh, she murdered. That's how she became more popular in the American eyes. Was her coming and doing.
She sings very well.
She's amazing.
She's very good.
She's just amazing. So, yeah, they are going to.
So, wait. So, this is a Broadway. This is a movie based on the musical. So, it's going to be like Hamilton movie, or it's going to be like West Side Story.
I didn't see West Side Story, but yes, I would assume so. Or The Wiz. So. Yeah.
Or Dreamgirls.
There you go. Dreamgirls. Uh-huh. That's a
good I'm excited topic. About this.
I think it's going to be. I don't know how the black folk are going to black embrace folks, it.
They going to hate anything that does something that's something they like.
But
Color Purple, almost 30. You got to be 30 years old. Color Purple is 2 years younger than me.
Yeah, I was about to say it's older
36.
Than
36. That's enough time for a reboot.
My mother used to make us listen to that last song and shout to it.
God's going
to
tell me something?
Yes.
That's what Suge came back to the Lord. Apparently, who's Suge?
Who's playing Suge?
Taraji P. Henson.
Was cast as Suge for this.
That's
for
what the Robin movie? Baldwin says.
Is that age difference that great in the movie? Well, I guess there's not that big of an age difference. How Taraji turned 50, right?
Did she?
I feel like she did.
51!
Yeah, I was about to say.
She's going to be 52 come September 11.
No, Taraji looks amazing. I just don't remember the age gap between Suge and Celie. I know there's an age gap because Celie still has a very, like, young personality, too. I just don't know what the age gap was in, like, the book.
Oh, you know what? I just remember one thing.
Oh, they said Halle Berry's going to be in it, too. What?
I love Fantasia.
She was horrible in her own movie. She was horrible.
I don't. It was your life.
She was terrible.
How?
I think she's been through an extra amount of stuff now that she might be better. I'm trying to remember. Did I get to see her on Broadway?
Oh, it's Halle Bailey.
Oh, the young girl.
Yeah. That's...
Okay. Well, that's good too.
Mm-hmm.
I was like Halle Berry. They're like, no, baby, no.
That's your black mom coming out.
Yeah, I was so excited because I was trying to figure out what role would she be playing? Because she too old to be playing, this is Aju Joint.
Yeah.
She was like, she's a little
who
too
was
old.
That? Bird or something?
What's her name? Squeak.
Squeak. I said Bird.
But that makes... I did this. Who's Jackie? Uh-huh.
Because that's what the birds do. They squeak. Yeah. Squeak, tweet.
And you said, come on. Oh, come on, old daddy. Yeah, y'all like
talking about Bird? Me. Who playing Bird in the Midnight Falcon?
The fact you got insults, you can't pick on how old I am without putting yourself in the same boat.
King Arthur.
Wait a minute. Her is playing Squeak.
Her?
This is about to be a great cast.
Hallie's playing Nettie. Oh, Nettie. Nettie and Celia were close in age, though, weren't they? Right.
That's what I was about to say. There's a 10-age gap between Fantasia and her. That's not great casting.
But that means Fantasia don't look 37. She looked like she did when she did Free Your Mind. Or not Free Your Mind.
But she sound 37.
She do. Fantasia, that's a black church girl singer.
She sound like slavery. You want me, then don't talk to me.
That album is a masterpiece.
Yeah.
Go ahead and feel yourself. Oh, man, I'm excited about this.
Yeah, when I saw it, I was like, oh, no.
She's playing young Nettie.
Okay, who's playing old young Nettie?
Her, not the brat. Thank you. That made me so mad.
I can't wait to look at this whole cast. It is about, they said, Coleman Domingo.
Oh, who Coleman Domingo?
He is a mister.
Oh! Ah, Coleman Domingo, they gonna hate you now. People hate Danny Glover forever after that.
Ooh, that's a good one.
Coleman Domingo is an actor. Oh,
that is the perfect. That is the perfect casting.
Coleman Domingo, that man can act. Yeah, he can, child. Yeah, he can. Oh, he gonna make a good mister.
These are the things that I'd be glad that I don't get to audition for, because I'd be like, I know y'all are gonna hire celebrities, so why are you wasting my time?
Angel, we gotta get you to be a celebrity now. We got to do something. That's why I gotta monopolize your time. I don't have much time. Once you get that 6-7 season series regular, what I'm gonna do when you down there at the Sony Live?
I'ma still be here.
Say that. I don't believe it, Josh. Can we just be honest about it? I don't believe it.
Okay, don't believe it.
You've been getting 30 grand in season one, 50 grand. By season four, you're gonna be getting 150 grand
per episode. And I will still be.
You gonna come up here on Tuesday.
Here's another thing of that tip.
150 grand per episode, Angel?
Yes.
It's all gonna be because Kev fired you off the tour. It's crazy.
The Friends people, what'd they get the last season? Was it like $1 million per episode?
$1 million per episode. Now, that check had
That's $23 million, Angel. You're not going to be sitting at that desk.
I bet you we just have to find a random date. We'll be doing these on Saturday after Joe's soccer. And y'all might not get a bonus. So your
by
bonus
the time you get to $1 million, Joe going to be playing soccer either professionally or at a college or scrimmaging. My point is, I'm not taking you no more. You understand me?
But we gonna be still talking about people we don't really care about and giving our opinions.
We are.
And we gonna, our ads, they gonna pay a lot.
Woo! They gonna be like, here's the thing off podcast, off of Spotify. Y'all done gave them $100 million each. And I'm gonna be like, y'all say what y'all want. I bought my whole neighborhood. Man, not the house. $100 million? $100 million, Josh. And then he moved from LA to Austin. To keep more of his money. Soon he got that deal, he said, California, take taxes?
Income taxes? You pay what? $30 million on that?
Texas, I'm going my butt right to Austin, Texas, where all my audience is thinks like me. You trying to be Joe Rogan liberal.
You're buying El Paso with $500,000 of that.
Listen, no, if I was making that much podcasting, I possibly would just be like, oh, acting? What? And be in Dallas or Houston.
Starting your theater school for the young blacks.
You surely would be like, all right. Black children, let's act so you can move to Hollywood and be broke.
Somebody asked me, would JoJo's podcast restart? JoJo took a hiatus last summer because he didn't want to work in the summer. The other day, he was like, we could do some episodes. And he was like, I'm going to go watch Boba Fett. I want him to do it when he wants to. Low-key, Joe is very funny. He is very funny. We didn't make a video about this, but... Melissa was sitting at the kitchen table last week. And she had made dinner, spaghetti and stuff. And she had made some garlic toast. You know how blacks do. You get that Texas toast. You throw that in there for a little bit. Now, you know, you got Italian dinner. Amen. So she fake raced him, right? And won the fake race. She was like, oh, you got burned. He was like, oh, this bread you burned.
Oh,
Oh. And we were like,
well, there will never be Texas. There will be never be Texas toast in that house ever again.
It was so funny because he is quick. He is
deals with you, man. Of course he's quick.
He is fast. And the bread was burnt too. It was like, because she had made 8 Texas toasters, and 8 Texas toasters was on that thing.
Burnt. Oh, no. The thing, well, I realized how quick he was in that clip that you put up when you were like, I was doing the bare minimum, but I got fired. He was like, then you weren't doing That's not the bare minimum.
Obviously.
Yes, it was the obviously. I was like, yes.
That was such a good point. Yes. That's why I need podcasting to be a business. That boy, a natural born podcaster. He used to come up with the topics. He used to be feeling like we're staying on topic too long or too short. He be producing. I was like, you be listening. You got a family of this? I'm going to nepotize you.
I'm going to nepotize
you. I'm
assigned
to Kevin State Studios. Don't you go take it over. Don't you go to TonyBeckerStudios.com. You say with father.
Father.
All right, y'all. We love y'all.
My cock-a-doodle-doo.
This was a pretty good episode. Pretty long.
I liked it. I had fun.
We had a good time.
Oh, yeah. When Georgia said, Melissa, you watch people do makeup all the time. It was just like.
He's got a good point. I watch people play games.
What you finna do about it? All right, we'll see y'all on Tuesday. All right, then.
But the bonus will be a different day, right?
Next week?
Because we're doing the news show, or are we doing this before?
Oh, the bonus will be a different day next week. Yeah. Yes. Oh, yeah, the bonus will be a different day. We're shooting our first scripted show for the app.
What time is our...
I think at 8.
Marcus is going to hate you guys forever.
We have to do the bonus on Saturday.
It's 3 days a week for the next 2 weeks?
Monday, 3 weeks. Wednesday, Friday, Monday, Wednesday. Nope, it's Monday, Wednesday, Friday, Monday, Wednesday, and then Monday. Because Angel gone. Angel, and actually, Tony gone. Monday, Wednesday, Friday, Monday, Wednesday, off Monday.
Monday the 21st?
Yeah.
I ain't going to be here. I land on the 21st.
Yeah, that's how.
That's a holiday.
Also, might be in a golf tournament. Yeah, that's a big day off, man.
You tell them then.
I must have missed it. I don't know what time I land, but.
Okay.
All right.
Bye.
Hey. Here's another thing of fire. Here's another one. Yeah. Here's another thing of fire. Here's another one. Here's another one. Yeah. Here's another bang of fire, fire, here's another bang of fire, with my boy Kev on stage, and that chick Angel.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.